This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Just 6 days into the official hurricane season, and already the year's third named Atlantic storm is on the move. Tropical storm Colin is beating a dangerous path onto Florida's Gulf Coast at this hour, bringing several inches of rain and the threat of serious flooding. Florida's governor has declared a state of emergency. Sandbags have been distributed, and some schools closed early in advance of tonight's landfall. NBC's Kerry Sanders is leading our team on the ground there and has the latest.
Tonight, more than half of Florida under a state of emergency as Tropical Storm Colin pounds the coastline and floods low-lying areas. 6,000 National Guardsmen on standby, waiting for the storm to create more havoc.
Oh, this is going to impact pretty much our entire state. We have the risk of tornadoes, lightning, hail, rip currents, all these issues.
Already waterspouts have popped up along the coastline. Winds stronger than 60 miles per hour have pushed the rising tide further ashore and even closed down the Sunshine Skyway Bridge for most of the day. And this police officer fought the elements to control a boat that broke its moorings. With heavy rains expected through tomorrow, flooding in places like Cedar Key could be a problem for days.
Isolated tornadoes, up to 4 to 6 inches of rain possible through tomorrow. This cold front will clear out the storm, but then trigger more storms by Tuesday evening across Florida.
After Alex in January and Bonnie last month, Colin marks the earliest that three tropical storms have formed in the Atlantic Basin in 129 years.
It's been a while, but this could be the season we're going to have more impacts than we've had in the past.
With schools closed and local governments shutting early today, those who retreated inside to stay dry fear this latest storm will cost them.
And sometimes it comes up over the beach and down the streets. And when it does that, then we're in really big trouble.
Several airlines canceled flights in and out of the state today because of Tropical Storm Colin. Tonight, forecasters warn that conditions are favorable to the formation of tornadoes. Meantime, in the Florida Panhandle, emergency managers are warning folks there that there could be floods, and those floodwaters could hit at a time when folks are usually asleep. Lester?
All right, Kerry, thank you. Tonight, Donald Trump is being slammed from the left, right, and center over his continued attacks at a federal judge because of the judge's rulings and his Mexican heritage. Prominent Republicans are now voicing their concerns, saying Trump has gone too far and needs to apologize. But there's late word Trump might have other plans, as NBC's Hallie Jackson tells us.
Today, despite new calls from Republicans to dig himself out, Donald Trump's instead digging in, reportedly ordering surrogates to escalate attacks on the Indiana-born judge overseeing a lawsuit against him, overruling his own campaign's original instructions. Trump claiming Judge Gonzalo Curiel is biased because of his Mexican heritage.
Mexican or not Mexican, I want him to be just, all I want him to do is give me a fair shake.
His campaign telling NBC News there is no racism tied to this whatsoever. Hillary Clinton tonight leveling her own attack on MSNBC.
What he's saying with respect to the judge, that's a racist attack.
Trump's not toning it down the way some Republicans want him to, denouncing his comments, but not his candidacy.
Of course it's inappropriate.
He should stop insulting people, but the Republican primary voters have spoken.
Quite frankly, I'm very disturbed.
But Marco Rubio still backs Trump, other Republicans refusing to say anything at all. An exception? Senator Ben Sasse, calling the candidate's comments the literal definition of racism.
Keep in mind how insane that sounds when you apply it to whites. We can't have any white jurors, we can't have any white judges if there's a white defendant.
Trump's remarks on race, part of his campaign since day one.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
What's different now? Trump's political allies warning him publicly to cut it out. Ben Carson, Bob Corker, Newt Gingrich calling his remarks inexcusable. Trump not happy with the criticism, but for now, not changing.
Thank you.
And that is not new for Trump. Remarkably consistent this campaign, even with growing GOP concern, that could backfire in a general election. Trump's campaign manager tells me tonight the report Trump instructed surrogates to ramp up attacks against Judge Curiel are not accurate, adding Trump simply explained his view of the case, that it should have been dismissed. Lester?
All right, Hallie, a lot going on the Democratic side as well. Tonight, NBC News is learning of a secret call between President Obama and Bernie Sanders, with Hillary Clinton now on the eve of clinching enough delegates to become her party's presumptive nominee. But Sanders showing no signs he's ready to go anywhere anytime soon. NBC's Andrea Mitchell with the Democrats' high drama.
Tonight in California, Hillary Clinton on the cusp of clinching the Democratic nomination.
Please come out and vote tomorrow on June the 7th.
And she soon could be getting some powerful backup to unify the party. Administration officials tell NBC News President Obama spoke to Bernie Sanders over the weekend and could endorse Clinton as early as this week. If, as expected, Clinton makes history tomorrow night, 8 years after she conceded to Barack Obama.
It'll be on the anniversary of what happened 8 years ago.
I am thinking a lot about that, Andrea, and I'll have more to say about it tomorrow night because it hasn't happened yet. We have to keep working. But so many people talk to me about what it means to them, women and girls, fathers of daughters.
But first, Clinton is trying to stop Sanders from winning an upset victory here in California where the polls are tight. And there are still fireworks between the two camps. Sanders opening a new line of attack against Clinton and her husband's foundation.
Do I have a problem when a sitting Secretary of State and a foundation run by her husband collects many millions of dollars from foreign governments? Do I have a problem with that? Yeah, I do.
And Bill Clinton going off message, responding to heckling by Sanders supporters Sunday.
If I were them, I'd be screaming too, because if you figured this out, they're toast for Election Day.
But Sanders, hoping to win here, is not ready to concede yet.
Let's assess where we are after tomorrow before we make statements based on speculation.
It's tough to lose one of these things. So you have to give people a little bit of a comfort zone and let them come to the conclusion that it's time to get out and support the other person.
Clinton confident Democrats will unite.
Can this party come together?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But how quickly that happens depends on the results here in California. If Sanders wins, he'll be less likely to throw in the towel, making it a lot harder for President Obama to broker a peace deal. Lester?
Andrea Mitchell tonight. Thank you. There was no shortage of blame when a three-year-old boy wandered into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo, prompting the zoo to shoot the animal. Today, a prosecutor said that no charges will be brought against the boy's mother. Rahema Ellis with more on that story for us tonight.
It's a tragedy, but is it a crime? A 420-pound gorilla dragging a three-year-old boy across the moat.
Because! Because he's dragging my son. I can't watch this.
Worried for the child's safety, Cincinnati Zoo officials shot and killed Harambe, the 17-year-old gorilla and endangered silverback. An online petition erupted with over 500,000 signatures calling for the mother to be charged. But today, the Hamilton County prosecutor said an investigation revealed the mother was not negligent.
Had she been in the bathroom smoking crack and let her kids run around the zoo, that'd be a different story.
He said social workers were impressed by the family.
And if anyone doesn't believe a three-year-old can scamper off very quickly, they've never had kids.
The family issued a statement saying they are very pleased with the decision. Kim O'Connor, who took the video, agrees.
I really did believe that the boy's life was in serious jeopardy. Nobody needed to see what was going on at the top of that exhibit. It was horrific.
The gorilla exhibit is scheduled to reopen tomorrow with a new higher fence, similar to those in place in other areas of the zoo. Will you bring your children back to the gorilla exhibit?
I will bring my children back to the gorilla exhibit. We actually did talk about it a little bit today and how it's important to stay where your mom can see you.
Cincinnati Zoo officials had no comment about the prosecutor's decision today. Meanwhile, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums is still conducting its own investigation into what happened here. Lester?
Rahim Ellis tonight. Thank you. Judgment Day here in Los Angeles. 10 death sentences for a vicious serial killer known as the Grim Sleeper. One for each of his 10 victims, women brutally murdered. Amid suspicions, there could be many more. NBC's Steve Patterson now with the chilling details.
Tonight, the verdict is death for 63-year-old Lonnie Franklin Jr., the so-called Grim Sleeper.
We, the jury, fixed the penalty for defendant Lonnie David Franklin Jr. as death by execution.
Franklin sat motionless as the verdicts were read for the Alexander family, closure after nearly 30 years of delayed justice for 18-year-old Alicia.
Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
She was among nine women and one teenage girl murdered between 1985 and 2007. Franklin was convicted on all counts.
Are you going to seek justice for the victims?
During the penalty phase, prosecutors presented what they described as evidence pointing to even more victims.
I ask you to show the defendant the exact same mercy that he showed to his victims.
Alicia Alexander's parents say death is the right choice.
That's what he deserved.
To take one's life. Something you're not able to give, but you take, so be it.
Franklin was arrested at his home in 2010 following a sting operation involving an undercover officer posing as a busboy at a children's party who took Franklin's leftover pizza. DNA from the pizza matched DNA found at several of the sleeper's crime scenes.
Outside of court tonight, reaction to words families have been waiting decades to hear.
He'll never get out to hurt anybody else. Justice has been served.
Formal sentencing is August 10th.
Finally, that it's over, it's relief.
Steve Patterson, NBC News, Los Angeles.
More than 30,000 tickets will be distributed to the public memorials, two memorials later this week for Muhammad Ali, the boxing great who died on Friday. As you can see, his fans paying tribute right now outside the house where Ali grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. Ron Mott has more on how his hometown is remembering the greatest.
With days of celebrations planned before a public memorial on Friday, Muhammad Ali fans, young and older, are paying tribute with words on cards, balloons, boxing gloves. For some, moments of silence for a man whose boasts and proclamations reverberated globally.
That's why I'm the greatest of all times.
Using the spotlight of his celebrity to denounce war and racism, risking prison, commercial endorsements, his very boxing career after refusing military service. That booming voice gradually was silenced by Parkinson's disease. And today, at the Phoenix Parkinson Center named in his honor, Ali's generosity and humanity were recalled.
He made it really possible for many, many individuals to get care that they wouldn't have been otherwise able to get.
What should we know about him as a person that didn't get told very often or at all?
He didn't follow the money. He followed the heart.
John Ramsey, a broadcaster who became a close friend and flew to Arizona to be with the family in Ali's final hours, said the champ was selfless away from the ring, playful, mischievous, giving attention to those most in need.
I feel very fortunate that, you know, that I'm friends with my hero.
Muhammad Ali is back home.
I came back on the plane with Muhammad and Lonnie, you know, she said, Muhammad gets off first.
For a final round of goodbyes to a man who pulled no punches. Ron Mott, NBC News, Louisville.
We've got a lot more to tell you about as we continue here tonight. Growing outrage after a judge sentences a former Stanford University athlete to just months in jail for a sexual assault despite an impassioned plea from the victim. Also, the most famous tomb in history getting its first renovation in hundreds of years. We're back now with the sentence for a brutal campus sexual assault that has sparked a torrent of outrage. The assault came to light when two Stanford grad students saw a man on top of a woman who was passed out in a frat house alley next to a dumpster. So many are now sharing that woman's powerful message that she delivered directly to her attacker, as the judge gave him what many see as a far too lenient punishment. Here's NBC's Cynthia McFadden.
A jury found a Stanford University swimming star guilty of three felony sexual assault crimes. He could have served more than a decade in prison. Instead, he got 3 years probation and will serve 3 months in county jail.
I think that this sentence is inappropriate.
Stanford law professor Michelle Dauber is outraged by Judge Aaron Persky's sentence and is leading an effort to get him off the bench.
Getting good grades or swimming fast or, you know, being good at lacrosse is a basis for giving you an exception from the California state minimum penalties. Then basically what you're saying is it's open season on college women.
The judge cited the defendant's age and lack of criminal record at the sentencing. The victim, who admits she was drunk the night of the assault, wrote a 13-page letter to the judge, urging prison time and an apology. I was found unconscious, bra pulled out of my dress, butt naked all the way down to my boots, legs spread apart, and had been penetrated by a foreign object. On the stand, Turner, once an Olympic hopeful, testified the sexual activity was consensual. Turner's father, who said his son would suffer throughout his life as a registered sex offender, urged leniency in sentencing. His life will never be the one that he dreamed about and worked so hard to achieve. That is a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action out of his 20-plus years of life.
20 minutes, and he didn't have time to realize that this woman was not responsive?
Linda Fairstein was chief of the New York Sex Crime Unit for over two decades.
There was a survey done recently on the Stanford campus that said that more than 40% of senior women say that they had been sexually assaulted at some point in their time at Stanford. Is this just a Stanford problem?
This is not just a Stanford problem. Every campus in America is dealing with this issue.
Most of the victim's written statement was directed at the defendant. We can let this destroy us. I can remain angry and hurt, and you can be in denial. Or we can face it head on. I accept the pain. You accept the punishment. That punishment far less than she had hoped. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
And we are back with more right after this. It's a repair job like no other, and the quality of the work must be nothing short of divine. In Jerusalem, a team of experts began a renovation today at the site where Christians believe Jesus was buried, in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. There's wear in the marble and stone, and the tomb is warped, not surprising, since the last renovation there took place more than two centuries ago. It's one of the most well-known houses in the world, Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion here in Los Angeles. Tonight there's word that the 20,000-square-foot house has been sold to a neighbor. Final price not disclosed, but it was listed at $200 million. As for the 90-year-old Hefner, he apparently goes along with the sale. He'll get to live in the mansion for the rest of his life. And that will do it for us on this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.